Good morning. Again, my name is Kevin Crawford. I am one of the pastors here at Trinity, and it's good to be with you. Last week, I didn't teach. Some people are like, oh, he took a week off. Nope. We're going to continue to raise up young leaders like Reese to teach and to raise up the next generation like we do with the graduating seniors. I also took an opportunity to see what was going on in Trinity Kids last week. I was very intentional of not teaching because my responsibilities, I just don't teach here. I make disciples that make disciples. And how many of you guys have ever had kids or grandkids back in Trinity Kids serve back there or are serving back there? So a lot of people. That's the next generation that will take this world by storm for Jesus. So I am really concerned about that. So I took a Sunday to really observe what was going back there and to give another young leader like Reese an opportunity to teach. And that's what we're about here. Disciples that make disciples. Let me pray for us as we continue in our series, Identity. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you're saying to us as individuals and corporately. Lord, I pray our hearts would be soft to obey you, to listen to you this morning. Lord, there are some that come in here with heartache. There are some that come in here with joy. And there are those who come in here ambivalent to life. And Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would meet us where we're at. I pray that we would rest in you. Lord, I pray that your word, we would trust that it would renew us, change us, help us to listen to you and obey you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to start off with a little bit of a word association. So when you think of the word American, what do you think of? Just shout it out. What? Independence. When you think of what do Americans eat, what do you think of? Hamburgers, pizza, apple pie. No one thinks kale. No one thinks, you know, all these. It's all like fair food is American. That's what we eat, you know. When you think of the word athlete, what do you think of? What? Yeah, whatever those words are. I can't hear everything. When you think of the word comedian, we think of like funny, entertaining. When you think of the word gopher, what do you think of? Minnesota. Some type of animal. I'm not used to it yet. The U of M, which I thought was the University of Michigan when I first moved here. You know, I'm from Ohio. I know what a Buckeye is because I'm a nut. You know, we just don't understand. I don't know what a gopher is. But let me ask you a question. When you think of the word Christian, what do you think of? You don't have to answer. But it's this huge umbrella word that some of us, even in this room, we come here and we gather and we call ourselves Christian. And some of us, we don't even know what that means, but that's what we define ourselves as. And a lot of people who follow Jesus, we define ourselves by our behavior. We say, we pray, we read the Bible, we go to church, I've been baptized, or sometimes we define ourselves by the things we shouldn't do, Christians. Like, I don't drink, I don't chew, and I don't go out with the girls that do, you know? We define ourselves by what we don't do. I think it would break the heart of Jesus if he looked at the followers of him and said, people are defining themselves by what they don't do. Or we could define ourselves as Christians by our beliefs. We've got the right doctrine. I know the right answers. I know all the apologetics to the beliefs and the theology, and I can be anybody at that. Well, friends, I think that Satan has really good theology too. He shudders at the name of Jesus. He doesn't believe it, but he has the right theology. And also, Jesus, when it comes to behavior, Jesus talked to a lot of people and says, you know what? You did everything right, but I never knew you. So this idea of what a Christian is, it can't be defined by our behavior or our beliefs. There has to be so much more to who God designed us to be in this idea of Christian. And even, is that the best term? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're drug here, like pulled, not like drugged and then brought here. And you're wondering what this idea of Christian, you might define Christianity as this: overprotective, shallow, anti-science, repressive, exclusive, boring, and doesn't allow questions. Maybe that's the way you define Christians. If not, you probably know somebody who defines a Christian in that way. Or some of us might define Christianity in this room or around us as hypocritical, moralistic, homophobic, judgmental, politically driven, against the world, and isolationist. Just get saved, get out of hell, and you'll be okay. Is that the way you define Christianity? Maybe not. Maybe some of those aspects are true, but I bet you believe or know someone, not believe, know someone who defines Christianity that. And if you don't, you need to. Because we have an identity problem. What does the word Christian mean? It's a huge word that actually is never used in the Bible that we describe ourselves with. It's used three times as a label that is placed on us. And listen this morning, I am not bashing the word Christian. I merely want to help us follow Jesus in the right way. Does that make sense, friends? Okay? But the word Christian isn't used except to define other Christians. So let me look at a passage just briefly for a second. In Acts chapter 11, a church is planted. Some people come and visit that church from Jerusalem, and it says this. It's recorded. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when they had found him, they brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, disciples were first called Christians. They were defined little Christ. This label was placed on them. How many of you guys ever heard the word geek or nerd? Now, if you're at that, you never defined yourself as that, right? It's not saying a geek or a nerd never says, that's who I am. No, that was usually placed on them, right? And the same is true with this word Christian. It was placed upon people who were following in the way of Jesus. And now we live in a culture that defines Christian in all these myriad of ways, right? So we kind of have an identity crisis. What should we live out? Should we live out the word Christian? Well, what does that mean then? Because it's never defined in the Bible. So what do we live as followers of Jesus? And this morning, I don't want to, like I said, negate the word Christian, but help us define what it means to live out our identity as a disciple of Jesus. A term that Jesus actually used. And so the big idea is this morning. We are disciples of Jesus. That is who you are if you're following him. Who make disciples of Jesus. You're a disciple of Jesus who makes disciples of Jesus. And I wonder, are we really disciples if we're not making disciples ourselves? So this idea of a disciple, we want to unpack this morning. Not so much a label we put on and say, I'm a disciple, but more of a way that we live in the ways of Jesus as we listen and follow him. Because when Jesus came to earth, he came to become one of us. The Son of God became one of us, born of a virgin, walked this earth. And we talk about his birth on Christmas, and we talk about his death and resurrection on Good Friday and on Easter. But what did he do for the 3 years he spent intensively with a group of people that transformed the world from that point on? He spent time making disciples. And Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he looked for a group of people. And Jesus, he was born into a system of teachers and rabbis, and Jesus was a rabbi and teacher. And he took on this nature of a teacher and rabbi. And most rabbis of that day, they would look for the perfect student and then invite them to follow. Or actually, the student would apply and get that. But Jesus chose his disciples, not because they looked good, not because they had knowledge, because he chose them, just like he chose Israel. And it's recorded in Matthew chapter 4. In the early ministry of Jesus, and he said these simple words, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jesus was in the business of inviting people to follow him, to be his disciples, to learn from him, to walk with him, to eat with him, to sleep with him, to walk along the road with him, to learn from him as a disciple. You see, he was a rabbi who had students. A couple of years ago, 10 years ago, not a couple, it just happens when you get older, everything's a couple of years, right? I had an opportunity to study in Israel for about 2.5 weeks. And I studied with a guy named Ray Vanderlyn, an incredible teacher of the ways of Jesus. And when we were walking along the desert and the wind was blowing one way, we would actually adjust the way we were following behind him so we could hear him and learn from him, because he was our rabbi for 2.5 weeks and we were growing in Jesus and learning from him. And this is what Jesus did. He was a teacher who just took people with him on the way of life to teach him about the kingdom of God. He didn't sit them in a classroom. He didn't say, sit down in rows. He said, just come follow me. I will be your teacher, and I will make you fishers of men. So from the very outset, they knew what they were getting into. I'm going to be a student who makes more students. I'm going to be a disciple that makes more disciples. It was at the very beginning of Jesus inviting them. So what does it mean for us to be a disciple that makes disciples? First, it begins with us understanding, grasping in a greater sense of who Jesus was as he walked this earth. And as we've walked through this identity series, we've asked the question, first, who is God? Not so much what should we do, but unless we follow him and look at him and listen to him and know him, it's useless to some degree of what we do, unless it's born out of a relationship of following him. So who is God? Jesus is a teacher who shows and shares the way of life. That's not isolated of who God is. Jesus is fully God and fully man. He became one of us. But in an aspect that we lose is Jesus is a teacher, not merely a teacher. He is a teacher to show and share the way of life. Sometimes we just talk about it, Easter and Christmas. But Jesus was this teacher in which people walked with for 3 years to show them what it meant to be a fully human. And Jesus was doing that. Then the next question is, what has God done? If this is who he is, he's his teacher, what has he done? Jesus has invited us to be his followers, an invitation. He didn't say you must, you have to. He came to a group of people and says, would you follow me? And that's exactly what he's done to you if you're a Christian, disciple, follower of Jesus. He said, come, follow me. The question is, are we following? Are we listening? Are we walking in his ways? Or have we created a system of religiosity that we're only walking in ourselves instead of the ways of Jesus? Jesus is a teacher. Are we looking to him for the way of life? Because he's given life through his death, burial, and resurrection. What has he done? He's invited you. Next question, who are we then? We are disciples of Jesus who make disciples. That's who you are. We can do a lot of things at Trinity. We can talk about we're different things. But what we're going to be about here, no ifs, ands, or buts, is about disciples that make disciples. Because that's what Jesus talked about. We can do a lot of good things, but the ultimate thing is us being a disciple that makes disciples. And maybe some of the good things that don't help us make disciples should have to go away sometimes. And maybe there's some other great things that help us that we need to help us move forward to be a movement of God, of disciples making disciples. The goal of Jesus walking this earth was not to get people just to sit in rows, but to set a movement in place of disciples that make disciples. This building is not a factory of discipleship. This is a tool. The staff of this church are not assembly line workers to make disciples for you to bring them into the factory and go, now I'm a disciple. We would sell you short in the kingdom of God as a disciple of Jesus if we didn't set you free and empower and equip you to be a disciple that makes a disciple. That's where life is found, friends. It is the adventure of following Jesus on the everyday stuff of life. Friends, are we getting that? Are we living that adventure? Is it pulsating through us as we follow Jesus? We can't help but look at him and invite people to follow. It is the adventure of being a disciple that makes a disciple. It is exactly what he said at the very beginning of his ministry. Come, follow me. It is exactly what he said at the end of his ministry. He says, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus never said, go and make converts to get them out of hell, to get them into heaven. Jesus never said, go make good people that are Christians. No, Jesus says, as you are a follower of me, would you make other followers of me through my death, burial, and resurrection, becoming more like Jesus? Do you see your friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers, and your heart breaks for them? Because discipleship begins at hello. When I meet my neighbor, discipleship begins to help them walk towards Jesus. whether they know him or don't, we're always discipling with intentionality because that's what we were created for. So what do? We live in the way of Jesus making disciples. Jesus, are you walking in his ways? Or are you just making a checklist of what to do? What do then? We're learners of him and we're listening to him. He says, follow me and I will make you. He's making us into a disciple. He invites us into that. But so the question or a thing we want to think through is, what is a posture of a disciple? How many of you guys ever had your parents or grandma put a book on your head to have good posture? Anybody? You know, or have good posture at the dinner table, no elbows on the table, and all those rules that I don't even know how to teach my kids. I mean, for us, it's like, just turn off the electronic device. That's good posture. We'll settle for that one. Chew with your mouth full. That's full, open. But our posture, and what is our bent towards disciple? If we're following Jesus, what is our posture in literally following him? If he's a teacher and we're his students, methetes is the Greek word for students, or talmid is the Hebrew word for disciple. It was the way of Jesus. We're first listening. We're all listening to something, right? How many of you guys have ever woken up to an alarm clock radio or your iPod or your whatever device, and that song plays and it stuck in your head? Anybody ever had that song stuck in your head? And you're like, oh, I can't get that out. We listen to things all the time that shape us. And if Jesus is a teacher, if he's a rabbi that shows us and shares the way of life, are we listening to him? Are we hungering for the scriptures, most importantly? But as we're listening, we're learning. We're taking it in. We're taking it to heart. It goes from our head to our heart as we listen and we learn. If he's our teacher, we're listening and learning at his feet and walking with him. But it's not just go from listening and learning, but it also moves to how we live. Being disciple in Jesus' time, in a Hebrew way, was never just about information, but it was always learning for transformation. Most of us grew up in an education system that it's always information, information, information. How many of you guys took history classes, you memorized everything for the test, and then literally forgot everything about history? How many of you guys memorized formulas just for the test, and then forgot the formulas? How many of you guys wrote the answers on the desk? No, I'm just joking. But we live in a system that we're stuck with just, this is rows, we're learning, we consume information. When the ways of Jesus is we're listening and we're learning and we're living and we're submitting to his lordship. Jesus is always talking about the kingdom of God, that he is Lord, and say, how do we submit everything to him? Our intellect, our emotions, our sexuality, our pocketbook, the way we use our time, the way we raise our kids, the way we parent, the way we speak, everything submits to his lordship as we're listening, learning, and living to put everything under his lordship. Our posture is he is king and we are not. He is increasing and then we are decreasing as we're listening and learning and living towards his lordship. It's a little triangle that helps me continue to think of what is the posture of a disciple. But if that's our posture, what is our pursuit? What are we pursuing? If we're always walking the way of Jesus, the answer is Jesus. You're like, this is the Sunday school answer. Yes. Our pursuit, the goal, the center of our pursuit is Jesus. And I don't hesitate to remind you of that simplicity of Jesus. It's what the Ephesians church lost, as recorded in Ephesians, that they lost their first love, Jesus at the center. We can put a lot of good things at the center of our Christianity, but it's not the ultimate thing of Jesus. Who are you listening to? Who are you learning from? Who are you living in? What are you putting everything as Lord of your life? Jesus is at the center of our pursuit. And if we're walking and he's the center, I think there's some big rocks that Jesus talked about of what we pursue as disciples of Jesus. And he specifically talked about these things. The first big rock is self-denial. Jesus said this. He said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come, be my follower, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to walk in my ways, here's one of the big rocks of what you should pursue. You must give up your way of life and take up your cross and follow me. Other translation says you must deny yourself. What is your pursuit? Your pursuit is death to self, is Jesus is what he's saying. my desires, my preferences, my way of thinking, my way of running my life has to die and to look to what his kingdom is and walk in his ways, and that's where life is found. One of the big rocks of pursuit is dying to self and picking our cross daily. A lot of things fall under that. But Jesus doesn't just talk about death in our pursuit of him and following him. He says also empowered by the Spirit, Spirit empowered. He says you must die to self, but we are raised to life by the Spirit. And what are we pursuing? A Spirit-empowered life as a disciple. Not a flesh-empowered life, not a pull yourself up by your bootstraps life, not a flex your own muscles as a Christian. The same power that rose Christ from the dead resides in you. Jesus' death is what he demonstrates and gives life. He says, die. And he says, he did his ministry empowered by the Spirit. Why else would Jesus say, you will do greater things than I? He was a God-man empowered by the Spirit. All through the scriptures, it says, we are to live empowered and walk in the way of empowered by the Spirit. We can do nothing apart from the Spirit. So if we walk in the ways of Jesus, we're continually dying to self, but being raised to life by the power of the Spirit. That's what we pursue. And as we walk in that, we walk in sonship trust. Jesus over and over was saying, not my will, but the Father's will. I only speak what the Father tells me. What are you pursuing? If Jesus is pursuing sonship trust, he wrestled right before the cross. Not my will, but your will. I'm entrusting myself to the Father. If we are listening to Jesus and we're walking after him, we're becoming more like him. It will be dying to self, Spirit-empowered, and we're sons and daughters of the King that are just continuing to learn obedience and trust of him. And lastly, not sequentially, but the reality is we're sent. As beautifully demonstrated here this morning, as the seniors are sent off, we're not losing high school kids, we're launching them on mission. Parents, you are sending your children. The Father sent the Son, Jesus, into the world, so he sends us. He only spent 3 years with his disciples. They didn't know everything, but they knew enough to tell the story of Jesus, and he sends them off into the world. Who did God use to turn the world upside down? Uneducated fishermen from the backwoods of Galilee. And he only spent 3 years with them, walking through the desert, teaching them on the way of life. And over he says, would you deny yourself? Would you walk in the Spirit? I'm demonstrating what it means to trust the Father, and now I'm going to send you. And it wasn't even at the end of his ministry. He sent them off and they stumbled and fell, right? In the middle of those 3 years, because he was training them to fail forward. Are you a disciple that makes a disciple? What's your posture? What are you pursuing? I think these are big rocks that a lot of obedience falls under. But how many of you guys have a perfect relationship with your parents? Nobody? How's your relationship if you're married with your spouse? When you first got married, did you think your marriage was going to be better than everyone else's? Or when you had kids, or before you had kids, you're like, you know what? Those parents are really messed up, because when I'm a parent, I'm going to know how to do this. We think that everything is perfect and linear when we look from the outside, that when our relationships are just like, well, I'm going to go from point A, not being non-parent, to point B, of being super parent. And it'll just be a perfect line. Or from marriage, I'm going to get married and we're going to have this super marriage. And we think everything is kind of linear and perfect and clean, and we want everything to be sanitized in our culture when it comes to relationship. But the reality is God is inviting us through Jesus to have a relationship with him. And so what does that path look like when we follow Jesus? What does the progress look like? And I think it looks more like this. This is what my spiritual life looks like. If I was honest, I'm not like perfectly following Jesus and like, oh, I've got to step forward all the time. It's like one step forward, two steps back. I think like Janet Jackson did something like that in the 80s. Not sure. But our progress is not perfect. Actually, the Bible talks about that when we begin to follow Jesus, we're infants in Christ and we move towards maturity. Somebody says, some of you should be teachers by now, that we're growing in Christ. How many of you guys have ever taken a road trip with kids in the car? How many ever take a road trip with kids in the car without technology to distract them for the 12-hour drive? What is the phrase that kids say all the time? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? If you take a long road trip and you're a parent and you put four kids in the car, you're thinking this is going to be exhausting. This is not a vacation. This is a family trip. Right? Because we've got to get there. I wonder if some of us think about our relationship with Jesus that way. That's Jesus. I could never be that. And I never could get there like Jesus. And some of us see Jesus and say, he is such an example. I'm just going to give up. But when you take a road trip with kids, for me, I measure it between potty breaks. If I can just make it to the next gas station. Or I measure it by, if I can just make it with this, can I get a full tank and run it on E and then we'll stop, right? Or if they could just make it through this two-hour movie, put headphones on, please. You know, you measure in small segments when you're on that journey. And the same is true, I think, with our relationship with God. We think, look at me like, that's so far of what it means to be a disciple. And we look at the ideal of Jesus. And you're like, I don't have enough information. You will never have enough information. That we are eternal beings continuing a relationship with God. What he's asking for you as a disciple, when he says, come follow me, he doesn't say make a quantum leap, does he? When you follow someone, follow the leader, are you doing long jumps all the time to follow them? No, what are you doing? One step forward. Your progress as a disciple of Jesus is what's the next step of obedience? He's never asking you to make quantum leaps to maturity. It is a marathon and not a sprint to walk as a disciple in a relationship with him. What is your posture? What are you pursuing? The right things, Jesus at the center. But as we mature, and you have families, they grow and they multiply, right? And so the next thing, the last thing I want to talk about is our purpose as disciples that we've already talked about is to be a disciple that makes disciples. You are empowered and equipped to go into your workplace, into your neighborhood, and every nook and cranny in the South Metro and metro area to be a disciple that makes a disciple. And some of you in this room says, I don't have enough information yet. Let me tell you, if we stay there and say, I don't have enough information yet, that is a plea or that is a ploy of Satan from the pit of hell. Just be honest. That seems very harsh language. But I want to be honest with you. Because you'll never have enough. If your life has been transformed by knowing Jesus, you have a story to tell. You will never have enough information. You will never know the Bible enough. But you know enough to tell a story. You might even get things theologically wrong. We wouldn't have the New Testament unless a bunch of churches got the New Testament theologically wrong. Okay? So we're pointing people to Jesus. We're showing them Jesus. I'm all for theological soundness, okay? So don't write an email. But our point of discipleship is to lead people towards Jesus. It's okay to be where you're at, friends, but it's not okay to stay where you're at as a disciple. It's okay where you're at. But God's saying, come, follow me. Would we be a multiplying effect of discipleship? What would it look like if you multiplied disciples? Truly, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16. I can't go beyond there in multiplication. And if I did it wrong, sorry. It's more than addition. If we just bring people to church, it's addition in many ways. But us virally being a disciple that makes a disciple is God's intention. And that's what we are going to be about here at Trinity. This is what we are about. My friend Shane Stacy, discipleship is not a part of what we do here. It is what we do here. Discipleship is not an app on the church. It is the operating system of the church. It's not that we sing, we make disciples, we do kids ministry, we do women's ministry, we do men's ministry, we fix cars, we do funerals, we do weddings, and we da, 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 da. We make disciples. That's what we do. And through that, we might do other things. But if we don't do that, we fail in walking in the ways of Jesus. And sometimes the way of Jesus is hard and it's difficult. But friends, my heart aches. I want to free you. I want to release you in the everyday stuff of life to live the adventure that God intended for you, to be a disciple that makes disciples. And you know what? Lastly, Jesus believes in you. He wouldn't have chose you unless he believed in you. Jesus says this, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." It's not because your raw material is good. It's because Jesus says, "I know what I can do through you." May we be a movement of disciple makers that make disciples as we follow Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, you're a good Father, and you sent your Son to show and to share life, to die the death we deserve, to be raised to life, to give us a life that we don't deserve, so we might live life now as your followers. Father, would we live out of the identity of following you as learners in the way of life, the life of adventure, of being challenged and being renewed by your word as we hunger and eat it? Would we not settle for just coming to church and doing religious activities and good things, but would we strive for the ultimate thing of following you and inviting people to follow you and showing the share of love of Jesus? I pray against the evil one who wants to thwart this movement by simple lies. You believe in what you can do through us. Would we walk in that way as disciples, making disciples? We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.